الحمد لله وكفى. والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Everything that we have, all of it is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no matter how extreme the statement, it will always be true. Meaning I can say every single little thing from the beginning to the end, it is completely and absolutely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make the statement as extreme as you want, and it will always be true. When you take a writing class, or if you study debate, one of the things that they teach you in the writing class or during the debate class, they tell you never use absolutes, because absolutes always have something that can be disproved. If you say, I always get up at 7:30 in the morning, it can't be true. There'll be some day that you don't get up at 7:30 in the morning, or there'll be some day that you get up at 7:32 in the morning, or whatever it might be. There'll be some day that you're sick and you don't get up until later in the morning. There'll be some day that you get up early in the morning. You can't make an absolute statement like that. So they always say, they say, don't make absolute statements. Don't use the word always. Don't use the word never. Because invariably, it will be false. But in this statement, the word always is even not enough. It's so absolute. Every single thing that we have, in any way, shape, or form, it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no exception. There is nothing that comes under the radar. Whether it be our health, even if somebody deems it to be lacking relative to another person, it's still health. Whether it be our wealth, even if we see it to be more or less than another person, it's still wealth. Whether it be our energy, our ability, our tawfiq, our ibadah, our families, our communities, our masajid, our knowledge, everything, every single little thing, there's no exception, there's no way around it. It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is important for us to recognize that. And it is important for us to always remember that. And this is the two challenges that always face. These are the two challenges that always face the Muslim. Number one, they have to recognize that every single thing is from Allah, including themselves. And number two, they have to remember constantly that everything is from Allah. So these two aspects are the constant struggle of the believer. It's not working in the room. So just that's it. They just can't hear. Or... So these two aspects always have to be in the mind of the believer, that everything is from Allah. And that I have to be constantly cognizant that everything is from Allah. This is a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing no matter who you are. You can be a believer, you could be a non-believer, you could be a high-level believer, you can be a low, you know, you can have, barely have belief. It doesn't matter. It is a very, very difficult challenge. I cannot tell you the number of times that I have heard my teachers or the pious elders and the pious predecessors in their statements remind us that we should always remember where we came from. You've heard this statement. Even people, it's a common statement in any society, in any civilization. They say, you have to remember where you came from. You have to remember your roots. You have to remember who you were. It's not enough to simply think about what you are, but you have to remember where you came from. Now, some people, they become wealthy. You have to remember that you were poor at some time. Some people, they gain knowledge. You have to remember that you didn't have knowledge at some time. Some people, they become strong and they become healthy. And you have to remember that when you were born, you were weak and nothing, and that one day you will eventually become weak again. So this is a challenge that befalls every single person, in particular the people who are striving towards belief. They have to remember that everything, regardless of what it is, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have to constantly remember where they were and where they are. And again, that is very important, because without that, then a person becomes proud. And when a person becomes proud, they compete with Allah. And when they compete with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala levels that person. Levels that person in this life and levels that person in the hereafter. You cannot compete with honor, with Allah's honor, and you cannot show any pride before Allah. Particularly when everything is from Him to begin with. You know, when two people compete, one person amasses money, and then they start to compared against one another, that I have this much and you have this much and I have this and you have this and I've got that and you've got that. Then they're competing against each other and they're both showing how proud they are about what they have. Now, in that competition, both have received their wealth from different avenues. Nobody took the wealth from each other. They took their wealth from different avenues, they amassed it, and they began to compete with one another. Now, imagine the person whom Allah has given everything to, and then they begin to compete with Allah. That person has no chance. Allah will flatten them in this life, and Allah will flatten them in the hereafter. And this is something that we have to always remember, because this is the challenge that faces every one of us. Regardless of who we are, we came from nothing. I don't care what clothes we're wearing today, we came with no clothes. Go to any birth of any child, they all come the same way. They come bare. It doesn't matter what wealth we have in our accounts, we came with nothing. We were weak babies. And Allah gave us our wealth. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges us with our wealth or our health or our energies or our abilities, and we don't live up to those challenges, then in essence we are negating that that came from Allah. And that challenge, again, nobody wins that challenge. Nobody wins that challenge. It results in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leveling the person in this life. And they're leveled in many different ways. They'll be leveled in that there won't be barakah in their wealth, or their health, or their energy, or their decisions. There won't be happiness. There won't be success, true success. They'll look like they're successful, but they won't feel successful. And on the day of judgment, it'll be misery. It'll be utter misery. So we, as people who have been given something, have to remember that it is all from Allah and that it has to be returned to Allah. It's Allah's mercy upon us that He allows us to partake of it. If we've been given wealth, just as an example, it belongs to Allah. It is a challenge upon us that we use that wealth in a way that benefits us and benefits our families and benefits our loved ones and benefits the people around us. And if we don't, then we are the ones that are losing. Because we're not taking it anywhere, we're not taking it with us to any way, and it is all from Allah, and all we do is challenge Allah. This is a really important principle which the vast majority of believers forget, and I cannot tell you the number of times I've heard my teachers tell us we should never forget from where we came from. You know, a person gets a little bit of iman, or a person gets a little advanced in their knowledge of fiqh. And as soon as they get advanced in their knowledge of fiqh, the first thing, they start passing fatwa against everybody that was like the way they were. You know, this person, let's just say, was doing a particular thing that they shouldn't have been doing. I don't know, you can pick anything. Whatever, they're wearing something, or they're acting a certain way, or they have a habit that they no longer do anymore. The first thing they do, They say, this brother doesn't do this, this doesn't brother doesn't do this, this brother doesn't do this, how come they don't do it? They don't remember that when they were 20, they didn't do it either. Right? Why doesn't he come to the masjid? Okay, now he's ready to criticize. This guy comes, finally starts coming to the masjid regularly. When he's 50, he figures it out. He comes to the masjid regularly. Then he begins to open his mouth. Now look at the youth of today. They're not coming to the masjid, brother, astaghfirullah. Well, okay, when you were youth, where were you? Then he becomes quiet, completely forgets that when he was young, he never came to the masjid at all. At least this, at least some of the youth come to the masjid once in a while. Well, let's just say you're commenting on this particular group of youth. But the point remains that it becomes very easy to become hypercritical once we're at a certain position. But then we forget where we came from. Again, it's a sign of pride. It's a sign of pride because we assume that what we have is permanent and somehow it came from us. The reaction should be, wow, why was I given this blessing? Not why doesn't this person do A, B, or C, but why was I given this blessing when I don't deserve it? Thank you, Allah. Thank you for giving me this despite the fact that I'm the least deserving of it. May you give it to everyone else as well because it is so special. That should be the attitude of the believer. But it's very hard to achieve that. But this is the way shaitan works. Don't think that when a person gains a little bit of iman that shaitan somehow runs from them. Shaitan knows exactly how to play. He plays, you know, it's like a video game. You can set the limit, you know, that this is a beginner, this is intermediate, this is advanced, this is master. He knows exactly how to play each player the way that they should be played. He knows the beginner how to play them. He knows the master how to play them. No one escapes from shaitan's plots. There's a very famous incident which is narrated in hadith about Bani Israel, which ties into this discussion. One time there were three people in Bani Israel. There's a story about three people. One of them, he was a leper. Leper, nowadays nobody knows what leper is unless you're in medicine. Leper is the person who gets a disease where they begin to get all these scars all over their skin. Like an infectious type of disease. It's not so common today, but common in this particular era. So they get this disease, and this leper has very bad skin. Very, very bad skin, discolored and scarred throughout. Now what happens? The people of the community where he lives, they turn away from him. They make fun of him. They mock him. They shun him. He's embarrassed in front of the people. He cannot show his face happily in front of the people. He can't smile in front of the people. You can only imagine that the children of the community are making fun of him. Whatever it is, he's extremely saddened by what has happened to his skin. So in his heart of hearts, he's constantly wishing that he could have normal skin. So one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to him. And the angel says to him that you can have anything that you want. What do you desire? I'm roughly quoting this. You can read the hadith. I'm very, very, very roughly, just from my memory, just telling you just the gist of it. So he says that, you know, obviously he can have anything. He says, I would like my skin to be beautiful. You know, like everybody has beautiful skin that has beautiful tone. I want beautiful skin with a beautiful tone. So the angel puts his hand, the angel comes in a form of a human, so an angel puts his hand, assuming the angel comes in a form of a human, and touches the skin, and the skin becomes beautiful. The skin becomes absolutely beautiful. Then the angel says to this individual that, which animal do you like? Which animal do you like? Which livestock do you like? So the person says that, I like camels. So the angel gives him one pregnant camel. And the angel says, may Allah bless you in this camel. May Allah bless you in this camel. And then the angel leaves. Then the angel approaches another individual. This individual was bald. Now, whether they were bald from birth or whatever the circumstances, that I don't know, but they were bald and they were saddened by their loss of hair. Let's assume they have a disease in which they're losing hair, just for the understanding. This individual was extremely saddened by their loss of hair. Obviously, they didn't fit into the community in whatever the circumstance was. It must have been a disease because they were uncomfortable. They were the way they fit into the community. And they had a deep desire that they have hair. So what happened? The angel comes to this individual, and the angel expresses whatever he statements and then says to this individual that, what do you desire? So this individual says, I desire hair, beautiful hair. So the angel touches his head, and he gets beautiful hair. Then the angel says to him that, what do you like? What animal do you like? So the person says that, I like cows. Cows. The angel says, I like cows. So the angel gives him one pregnant cow and says, may Allah bless you in this cow. Okay, the angel leaves. Now the angel approaches the third person. The third person was blind. And the third person desired to be able to see what everybody else was seeing. Now you can only imagine if a person can't see how difficult it is to exist. So this individual, the angel came to this individual. This individual was extremely saddened by their blindness. And the angel said, what do you desire? So this person said that, I desire my eyesight, so that I can see what the people see. I can see the people themselves. So the angel puts his hand on the eyes of this person, and this person's sight is restored. And then the person is asked, what animal do you prefer? And the person says sheep. So the person is given sheep, pregnant sheep. And then it is stated, may Allah put barakah in this. May Allah bless this. Okay, now what happens? These people, they go on with their lives. Some time passes. Time passes, and what amazing thing that the animals, so these people have beautiful skin, one has beautiful skin, one has beautiful hair, one has their eyesight returned. And the animals that they were given had so much barakah in those animals that they have valleys full of animals. The valley is full. Each one has a valley full of animals. You know, in this day and age, nobody understands that, but you can just imagine how much wealth that represented in that day and age. They became extremely wealthy. Time passed, and the people went on with their lives. Now what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel back to them. The angel came to the leper, the one who had the skin disease. The angel came to the leper as a leper. Just think. Came in the exact same circumstance. And said to the leper, said to the former leper, said to the one who now has beautiful skin, he said to him, I am a traveler, and I have lost everything in my travels. I see that you have a valley full of camels. So can I have one camel? Just imagine. He comes as a leper in the exact same way that the person used to be, and asks, and is poor, and asks for one camel. So what does the person say? The person says, I'm very busy right now. The one with the beautiful skin, he said, I'm very busy right now. So the angel looks at him. The angel has come disguised, right? The angel looks at him, says, I think I remember you. I think I remember you. Weren't you the one who was a leper before? And didn't have anything? And didn't Allah bless you with good skin and all of these animals? So the person said, what are you talking about? I inherited all these animals. These are my inheritance. These animals are my inheritance. So then the angel said, if you're lying, may you become as you were. If you're lying, may you become as you were. So what happened? The angel left, and the person became as they were. Their skin returned, and all of their wealth disappeared. Their skin went back to the way it was, and all of their wealth disappeared. Now what happened? The angel then went to the bald man, the formerly bald man who now has beautiful hair. And then the angel said to him, came as a bald man, came back as a bald person, and says to him that, I'm traveling. Same story. I'm traveling, and I have lost everything in my travels. Would it be possible for you to give one cow? So the person said, I'm busy. Same response. I'm busy. So then the angel looked at him and said, don't I remember you? Haven't I seen you somewhere before? Weren't you the one who was bald, who had nothing? And then all this was given to you as a blessing? So same response. What are you talking about? I inherited all this from my forefathers. So the angel said to him, if you are lying, may you become as you were. So what happened? The person became bald again and lost everything. Now the angel went to the blind person as a blind man. Same story. And the exact same scenario. He said to him that, I am traveling. I lost everything in my travels. I see that you've been given so much. Would it be possible for you to give me one sheep? So the blind man said, looked at him, and he remembered himself. He remembered where he came from. And he acknowledged that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him. He said, take whatever you want. So then the angel revealed himself and said, I'm not here to take anything. I am actually coming as a test to you. And you have passed this test, so you will stay as you are. So he remained with his sight, and he remained to be blessed in all of his wealth. We are all in the exact same situation. These are not some stories. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ narrates these types of things and shares with us events that have occurred centuries ago, these are not bedtime stories. These are lessons. Everyone in this room has been given whatever they've been given only because of Allah. If Allah gave you knowledge, it's not because you worked hard. You know, you sit with people and say, I worked so hard, you have no idea how hard I worked. No. That is not why you are in your situation. There are many people, they work much harder than you. They wake up and work under the sun day and night. There's no weekend. There's no holiday. There's no off day. There's no on day. There's no, you know, protection. What do you call it? Workplace protections. People work hard. It's not because you worked hard. It's because Allah blessed you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places challenges before us, if we fail to appreciate those challenges, then we've got big problems. We've got big problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the barakah from what we've been given, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return us to the way that we were. Now this applies to our iman. It applies to our proximity to Allah. It applies to the wealth that we've been given. It applies to the energy that we have. It applies to the health that we've been given. We cannot escape. Now, if you want to escape, you can escape and you can pretend and just you can just ignore all of this. But the reality is that it's all a test. When there is a need in the community to support something that's necessary in the community, and someone in the community approaches us, then we have the responsibility to acknowledge that approach and to do everything that we can to support that. Whether that be somebody coming because they're hungry, or somebody coming because they're in need, or somebody coming because they are trying to help further the deen, whatever it might be, it's the biggest deception to think that we can get away with giving nothing but having it all. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's no way anyone can escape this because everything is a test. When in the community, the need to for a masjid arises, let's say whatever community you're in, or the need for a HIFS program arises, or the need for a hospital arises, or whatever it might be, then people get approached. And when they get approached, the reason they're being approached is because Allah blessed them. That's often the circumstance, right? Nobody is going to go on the corner, on the corner of the bus stop at midnight and fundraise. People are at the bus stop at midnight, they probably don't have a vehicle. So how are they going to be able to give you more than what they don't have? But if we have been given something and the challenge arises for us to expend that which we've been given, we don't escape by giving nothing. You know, a lot of times people, they just quickly write a small check so that nobody will bother them. Allah knows. Allah gave whatever we have. We can't escape. We can do it. We can quickly write the small check and say, okay, now I've checked this off the list. Hopefully nobody will come and bother me. But don't think that Allah doesn't know. All of this is a big challenge. It applies to our wealth. It applies to our knowledge. It applies to the happiness that we have. And if we don't share that happiness with others and we just want, I want to have everything good, but I want everybody else to not have it so that I can feel elevated. You know, all these things are just natural inclinations that are present in a human being, but they have to be subdued because they are taken advantage of by shaitan. They are taken advantage of by shaitan. We have to remember from where we came. We have to remember where we came from. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah. Now, I mean, look, if a person is approached to give something that they have, whether that be knowledge or whether that be advice or whether that be wisdom or whether that be wealth or whether that be happiness or whether that be nasiha or whatever it might be, and the person shortchanges that transaction, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shortchange them. You know, example A, somebody comes and asks you whether you think this is a good deal. Should I go and buy this particular house? Okay, you know that that's not a good deal. You know the person's getting ripped off, but you got ripped off and now you want someone else to get ripped off also. You know, so you'll feel better. Now, you can give the person bad advice and think that nobody will ever know and you'll feel better now that at least there's two people in the boat, not just me alone. But Allah knows. And the moment we give that bad advice, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely recognizes it and then levels us. Because that person was sent as a test. Every interaction is a test. No, there's not going to come some blind angel to your door and say, you were blind, now give me something. That's an extreme. But every single interaction is a test. None of this is random. When somebody calls you and asks you for something, when somebody meets you and, you know, discusses something with you, when somebody needs to take advantage of some knowledge you've been given, that's a test. That was written by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us at that point. And when we are tested, if we fail that test, then we will suffer the consequences. Now, the extreme of, you know, our animals disappearing and a person going blind, maybe that circumstance doesn't happen, but the barakah certainly disappears. And eventually the wealth disappears. You know, what is the wealth for anyway? People save up wealth, they go to their grave, and then their children fight over it. What was it for? What was all the wealth for? The wealth was to free ourselves from the hellfire. The wealth was to advance ourselves and our families. When a person is sincere in their wealth, in their health, in their abilities, in everything they've been given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always takes care of that person. Always takes care of that person. That person will be taken care of. Their children will be taken care of. Their grandchildren will be taken care of. I know people, they just hoard and hoard their wealth. Hoard and hoard their wealth. Then you ask them, why are you hoarding the wealth? My kids are going to get married. I need to have all this wealth. Then they come to you crying 6 years later, I can't find anybody for my children. Yeah, take the wealth that you were given, donate it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you someone for your children. I heard a very famous, interesting statement from one of my teachers. Very, very interesting statement from one of my teachers. He told me, somebody came to me and complained that their children were not able to find a match. Listen to this statement. Somebody came to me and complained that their children were not able to find a match. So the advice that he gave him was the following. He said, go and give sadaqah. Go and give sadaqah. Why should you give sadaqah? When you give sadaqah, you form a home in Jannah. When you form a home and give sadaqah to a masjid. When you give sadaqah to a masjid, you form a home in Jannah. When you form a home in Jannah, it means that you have to have a partner in your home Whether you're husband or wife, you're going to have a partner in that home. Where is that partner going to come from? It's going to come from this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the situation and find a suitable match for the children so that they can have a home in Jannah. Very simple solution. But where it's very short-sighted, we just see numbers on a piece of paper, or nowadays on our phones or on our screens, and we think that those numbers mean something. We don't recognize that those numbers are just tests. If a person has $1 billion, it's not $1 billion, it's 1 billion tests. If a person has $1 billion, it's not $1 billion, it's 1 billion tests. They have to live up to that challenge. So we should be cognizant of what we've been given. We should recognize that all of it comes from Allah. And we should appreciate that who we were and where we came from, and that without that connection to Allah, we will be left empty-handed in anything that we have. If Allah gave a person hifz of Qur'an, and somebody comes and says, can you teach me hifz of Qur'an? That person has a responsibility. They must teach. They must teach. Because Allah gave that, and that is a type of wealth that is more valuable than any wealth that can ever be measured. And if the person wants to maintain that, they must share it. That is why every person who has memorized Qur'an must engage themselves in teaching Qur'an. And if a person wants to memorize Qur'an, they should make themselves a servant of the people who teach Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them that wealth. It's so simple. It applies. It's so simple but so difficult to actually put into practice. It applies to everything that we have. It applies to everything that we have, whether that be knowledge, whether that be health, whether that be wealth, whether that be happiness, whether that be family, whatever it might be. If a person is fortunate enough to have family around them, then they should look for the people that don't have family, and they should make those people happy as well. And when they make those people happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain their family. And the people who are proud and they think, I have family, and all these other people, they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know how to maintain a family, and they don't know how to be with one another, then what happens? Then the fighting starts in that person's family as well. And within 6 months, brother is not talking to brother, son is not talking to father, daughter is not talking to mother, and everything falls apart. We are servants who have been equipped with our abilities. And if we don't expend those, they will disappear. This is why our scholars say that we should remember who we are and where we came from. We should remember who we are and where we came from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to always be cognizant that every single thing is from Him. And may He grant us the ability to always be thankful for what He has been given, what He has given us, and may He put barakah in that which we have been given. Wa akhiru ta'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.